got 19 loads of apples off of the hill that day by sled. And when he'd come in, each sled load, he'd come to the house to see how I was because I was getting close to delivery time.
She says that's deer meat in there.
Well, that's delicious.
It is.
And so he quit at 4 o'clock and came in to get supper for the men. He didn't want me to be on my feet that much. I was just so heavy before I couldn't even tie my own shoes. So he done a lot of the work inside. My husband was good for helped out there too.
Okay.
Good, Mom.
We were on the events in Thanksgiving 1981.
Mm-hmm.
The appraiser's been there. We didn't go to Elkins on the 30th of November. Oh, when the appraisers came on the 8th of December, Bobby was on his way to the mailbox down the hill. He saw the Corps of Engineer vehicles coming in over the highway, so he didn't go on to the mailbox. He weaved in around the shrubbery and the light and came back to the house. I said, lock the door. We watched. They pulled into the property next door that joins ours in the other driveway. They got out of their vehicles. There was two vehicles up. I think about five men, if I remember correctly, five or six, of the two vehicles. They got out, and I said, it just reminded me exactly of some men that had been hunting, and maybe they've each come from a different direction. They've all gathered together before they go on their separate ways or something, and how they'll stand around and talk, and maybe you'll kick, you know, in the dirt. I think you get the picture of what I'm talking about. That's what it reminded me of. Well, we were standing in front of the fireplace in our living room, and we could see them, but they could not see us. These two vehicles. And I said to Bobby, this calls for prayer. Okay. Now, mind you, this was at 11 o'clock. We were getting ready to go down and begin cutting briars away from the Christmas trees, getting time, you know, that people will be coming for trees. And they pulled in there. I said, time for the prayer. Okay, the prayer was over, and we looked. And don't you know they left out? They did not step their foot on our place. They never came to the house. They never saw us. Nothing. They left out. Before 11:15.
Hmm.
I know I have help. Well, we went on and took care of the trees, kept a watchful eye out the rest of the day. Nothing more. 17th of December came. It was the worst day we had yet for the season. And I mean, it was bad. Oh, it was so bad. Our home demonstration club here had our Christmas program scheduled. Our Christmas get-together, family, dinner, covered dish. They called it off because it was just too treacherous to be out unless you had to be.
We had to
so I know now, you see, the Lord knows those things before we do what a day is going to be like ourselves.
Been slippery.
And this day wasn't fit to be out. So that lets me know now why we weren't to go. That was in 81. Well, then in 82, I think it was.
Yes.
We were down in the nursery serving some customers, local
November
people.
November 82, that is.
And just as we were going down the hill, this lady had called and said they'd be over our way in a short while. And we had just gotten dressed and a little cup of coffee and out, you know, gone down the hill with them, talking about what they'd like to have in the line of shrubbery. When I saw this vehicle go out, turn in our driveway, back out, back, back out, back, and back. Well, we were digging shrubbery. This fellow came up over the front steps and up into the nursery there where we was. And as he came out, he said, anybody here know Robert Hebner? Bobby says, I never heard of him.
You know how he'd say it as a
Now, he never identified himself in no way. All the time he was there, maybe 5 to 10 minutes. He said, either of you ladies know him? And I was bundling up a piece of shrubbery. I was kind of wondering what was going on, so I was taking my good old time of tying up the shrubbery. Well, he says, I have an envelope here for him. If you know him, you might ever see him or anything. So I was ready for Bobby to put the string around the piece of shrubbery I was putting the burlap up on. So when he bent down to do the strings, I said, tell him we don't take what belongs to other people.
And
that's what Bobby told him. And he left. I never did know who he was.
I gave
until
him my
about,
pin name.
It was either a week or 2 weeks later. I think about a week or maybe only a few days. We had a watershed meeting. And a fellow from over on Skin Creek, Glenn Smith, said to me, you had some callers the other day, didn't you? So I began telling him about that. In fact, when he left, this man did, I said to the women that were there, I said, do you know that man? No, I didn't know him. I said, I don't either. I don't know what he's prepared. But the girl said she had gotten a look at the envelope. It was an open envelope, long envelope, had no writing on either side of it or nothing that would specify, you know, it was for a given person or anything. So I always thought, well, maybe it's a good thing we didn't take it.
Glenn
said you had callers. I said, well, I said, somebody's up there and asked if knew Robert Hamden. I said, Bobby told him he didn't know him. I said, he never told us who he was or anything. I said, I don't know. I said, how'd you know he was there? He said, I was sitting down by the pond waiting for another man to come by. They was going on up the holler to look about his cattle.
I saw the truck sitting there.
I didn't know he was down there. Had no knowledge of it. I said, well, I wonder who that man was. Oh, he said, that was the big shot. That was Monjar. Then I began to put it all together, and I thought, oh, boy. Since he didn't identify himself or anything, you know, and I knew it wasn't a customer the way he spoke or everything, so I'm just glad we didn't enter into things, you know.
Who is Monjar?
He was
the head of the corps.
Head of the corps here in Weston. There's another fellow in there now, Monjar's. Got his house for sale. He lives just down the road from my dad. He's got his house for sale right now.
Sort of like I just turned my name around, gave myself a pen name that summer. And...
But Bobby just said it as a joke, you know. Mm-hmm. You've heard anybody say, well, who's that with you or something? I don't know him. Never heard him or something. That's the way it started out. It really didn't mean all that much by it, but the way it worked out pretty good.
So he asked me who I was, and I told him.
So anyway, Mr. Smith said to me, he says, well, who's that woman in the car with him? I said, I don't know. I didn't know there was a woman in the car. He said, yes, and all I know is she had red hair. So I didn't know.
I remember,
but he never come back.
I remember seeing the truck sitting there at the...
Well, I didn't know that. All I knew was this car and where he parked.
I thought I told you about it.
When did you hear that?
Huh?
When did they... Tell you
that was in the condemnation paper.
53,000.
That's the only time there's ever been a figure mentioned, I mean, you know, to begin with. Because they never negotiated with us in no way, shape, nor form prior to that. They hassled me about this other man's property, but not on our own. They never did.
53,000 for 50, a house?
Bond. A house, 23.48 acres, 3 acres used for saleable nursery stock, 12 acres of it are orchard. With a packing house, the house had... 3 bedrooms, long hallway, and bath on the upstairs. Downstairs is a front hall reception, sizable. Oh, at least like right here, mm-hmm. The reception hall. Large living room, large dining room, large kitchen, pantry, and a full basement. The house measured 24 by 24 and a half, and it had an attic, too. Of course, we never used it, but it was there. Bay style. Both floors.
Windows had
with white pillars
on each on porches, corner of the porch.
The white banister.
Pretty old place.
Beautiful.
Built in 1917.
I had thought I'd bring some pictures I could show you, but I didn't have the time to look about anything. I've been in such a hustle bustle. And anyway, just a little something added every winter. We like to take care of the birds too, so we tied pie tins
on the banister on the porch.
Bird feed for all the birds, and it was a sight to see those birds come in about 4 o'clock in the evening before the dust would come on, you know, and then they'd be there in the morning. Every bird you can name come there to eat. Mysteria vine around the porch, and at one time there was a rose bush, and back in the early the 60s we had such a cold winter that even privet hedge froze that winter. Mm-hmm. But we lost that beautiful rose that was around that porch. So then we never had heard a thing. Now they claim they have sent mail. In 1980, wasn't it, Bobby, when I was so sick that winter, and about the only time I ever went anywhere was the days I had to go to the doctor, and I managed to get my groceries, whatever we had to have on those same days, because I wasn't able to be driving, but I had to do it. I had no other choice. I picked my days. I've been fortunate. I've never had one of those around on the highway. And on this one day came a pink slip in the place in the mailbox that there was mail for us at the post office from the Corps of Engineers. I got up, I got dressed, I went to the post office. The roads are treacherous slick. In fact, going back home where as you go around a curve up there, I was on both sides of that road trying to get home. So sick. But up there at the post office, not a piece of mail of any kind there for us. you might come back this evening and see if there is. I said, I am absolutely not able to come back up here. I said, I'm not, shouldn't be up here now. And I went back home and I didn't go back. Well, another time, the same way. Similar circumstances. I go to the post office, no mail. I still have the slips. That's where it was. Well, after the condemnation, and I called through to Huntington and I talked with a Colonel Carl Richards. And I told him how unhappy I was and upset because there had never been any negotiations on the property prior to condemnation. And I said, I know enough about this because the conservation districts go by the same regulations. And if they do the things that Corps of Engineers had done, those people would lose their positions faster than you could think about it. Knowing a little bit about that condemnation law, I knew, you know, that was cart before the horse.
Pastor, you can say you
and I told him. He said, well, we've sent you this, we sent you that, and sent you this mail. I said, I've never received any of it. Well, it's supposed to be delivered to your door. I said, there's never been anything brought to our door. And I did mention about these other, but I didn't tell him I still had the slips. That call cost me $11.68, so you know how long I've talked. And that was back then. Well, then, nothing more after 81 and that one event there in 82.
Until
June this year, I got another letter. Said something about they had noticed we were still occupying the property. See, after the Lord dealt with me in 81, and I knew there's where we were to be, because everything is pointing to it. Each day, there's something to let me know. Or maybe someone say, well, you suppose you're interpreting things right? And I say, Lord, am I right? Have I misinterpreted you? If I have, let me know now. I've told so many. Let me know now, so I won't do something more wrong. I always had an answer. I was okay. That I had interpreted right. Because if I know that I have misinformed somebody of something wrong, I'll let them know if I can. And backtrack on it. Well, just various things. I was getting better. I hadn't had to use my medication since early spring. Once this spring, we were pulling up little weeds, and I say I had a week back from years back anyway. When he was just 2 years old, I put my back out of place, and it's been a problem ever since. I had to be cautious. We had gotten in an order of evergreens, and there were some of them a little bit too small to put in the nursery row, so we could heal them in, you know, and let them grow. Had a place ideal for it, but it needed a little debris cleaned off of it, and some trash and cleaned up. We were doing that, and there was one little bitty of a briar. Wasn't even as big as a pencil. Got stubborn. And the root of that thing just run for a mile or more. It got stubborn. And it sort of, I must have been in the wrong position. Anyway, I hurt my back. It just sounded and felt like every bone in me was breaking. So that kind of laid me up for just a little while. But then, as crop time came on, we planted our potatoes the 19th and 20th of May. And I was able to do those on small scale. I cut all the potatoes. I take a small kittle that I could handle, walk along. I helped drop them, everything. We got that done. June, we planted our garden. We planted 22 pounds of half-runner green beans. Now, we put out 300 pounds of Kennebec potatoes at 7 row around the hillside. The 22 pounds of half-runner green beans. We had 6 dozen tomato plants. And to set those tomato plants, because my back still bothered me, and I couldn't stoop and I couldn't squat, so I'd take a stool along and set out the plants. Took a little longer, but I got it done. Put those out. And in the meantime, Bobby got an awful bad cold.
Close of the weather we had.
So, this weather, and then there seemed to be a bug in the air. He had a sore throat, so he carried the water out to the garden for me, and I set out the rest of the plants of them, so he could kind of take care of himself. Then in June, we had a death in the family, and of course, it bothered me a little bit that week. Then from then on, because everything's beginning, the weeds were coming on. We'd had some wet weather, and the weeds were coming on, and he'd pull those out, and I began pulling those weeds, and I just went ahead about normal. Didn't seem to hurt me when I get tired. Summer went on, and he was fortunate enough this year. The first year he had been free, because 2 years passed, because he had a $1,000 hospital bill facing him. That 2 years prior to this year, he had worked with the summer youth program just to take up the slack time between the spring and the fall sales, so he could help take care of this hospital bill and all his doctor bills. But this year he wasn't fortunate enough to get on with the work, so he was very happy to be at home. I gave him opportunity to take care of the potatoes properly. Got them cultivated and hoed out twice. Take care of the beans in the garden, everything right. Beginning the 4th day of August, I started picking the first beans, and I never finished until after that's the 2nd or 3rd of October, along there someplace. We picked 29 bushels. Sold them all, with the exception of what I used, for about 28 quarts. Maybe a bushel. We had somewhere, I don't know the records because I haven't seen them. I mean, I had them and they would be being tallied if I'd had the opportunity now. But I'd say in the neighborhood of some 6, 7, or 8 bushel tomatoes. Large tomatoes. Yes. But in the meantime, the 31st day of August.
I was picking beans.
And oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
That does come in there, don't it?
Yeah.
We were filling our orders and I needed just about a handful or two to finish a particular number of pounds for a particular order. And I was sorting crab apples on the front porch, so our crab apples tree was literally loaded, and one pear tree loaded, the rest of them was kind of spotty. Weather conditions. But he had gone down to get the few extra beans I needed while I got dressed, ready to make our deliveries. And I had called to him, unknowing there was even a vehicle around, and I said, come on with what you have, you probably have enough amount, you know. But when he came up the path, I said, why didn't you bring your bucket with you? And he wouldn't say anything. He got up to the porch. He said, there's a Corps of Engineer vehicle down in our driveway. Well, I looked. I didn't see any vehicle. He said, it's gone now. I said, well, get your beans. We'll go on. I think you've got enough picked. Well, we delivered those beans, and after we made our deliveries, we went on to Jackson's Mill for the state dairy show. We left home about 4 o'clock. We came back in just prior to 8:30, and when we came back in, our mailbox was off of the post, and let me tell you, nails in that post that far.
Down into the
it had to be taken up off of it, and it was down in the briars back of it. So when I called Hexes that live right above us to see if they'd noticed anything unusual about the neighborhood that evening, and told her why. I said, our mailbox is off of the post, and I said someone's had to take it off of there. So I got in touch with the mail carrier. I said, have you had any problems with any mailboxes on the route being indestructive or anything? He said no, and I told him. He said, wonder what's happened. I said, well, someone's had to take it off there, because I said those nails was far down in there and they'd been pounded away. You couldn't even move it. And he said, well, if it happens again, he said, then we will report it to the postal authorities a little higher up. But it didn't happen anymore. But the 30th of August, now this incident here about the mailbox took place during the week of
the dairy show, the week before
state
that.
Dairy show, and
was the
fair.
Week before that,
and then the week before the state fair. And 30th of August, I had gone to Jane Lou to have my hair done. We were putting in a new water system, and my dad had given me the amount of hose and everything to get for this water system he was putting in for us. And I was to go to Southern States between 3:30 and 4 o'clock. It would be coming in on a truck, and I could pick it up then. Well, I left Jane Lou about 2:30. I got into Weston at the Hex store about 10 minutes till 3. Bobby wanted to see about some blue jeans they had on to go to buy. We went in there 10 minutes till 3, and just a real nice day, something about like this. We came out of the store at 3:15. I mean to tell you, it was raining, not just barrels. Very near got soaked getting to the vehicle. And just going from the Hex store into Weston, it rained so hard and so dark for the hour of the day. And on the local radio station, they said that it was so dark, you know, for the hour of the day that they had ever seen in their lifetime. And I'm older than they are, and I'd never noticed it in my lifetime, I mean to recall. And I had first said to Bobby, I said, well, I'm not going to the Southern States and all this and get that pipe because we're not going to be using it this evening or tomorrow anyway. Well, I might have gone through some water going out the street, and it was raining so hard I had first thought, well, maybe I better pull over and wait it out a little bit till slack. About that time, they were telling about all these warnings further into the evening. It was after 3 o'clock, and I said, well, maybe we better get home while we can. Well, I pulled up to the 3rd Street stoplight there in Weston, and I was the second vehicle in line. Well, I could see on out the street by the Keener apartment there was water in the road. Just that quick.
You knew where they
So
are,
I thought, right? Well, I'll go up by the junior high school and then First Street and on home. I won't have to be in that water because I've got a touchy vehicle. But when it was my turn to move on, when the light turns, that vehicle would not move. No way. Pouring so, it just wasn't practical to even get out, and thunder and lightning could be dangerous, that we just sat there for a while. No way could I get that vehicle to move. Wouldn't even turn over. Well, when it did slack up, he goes to a little station across the road and called the garage. Well, they said they'd send someone out. They didn't come, and they didn't come, and they didn't come. Over an hour and a half. Finally, he goes back and calls them again. Well, he said they finally come. They pulled me in. Well, all total, there I was from about 3:15 and all that till something after 5. Well, I left the garage, and I took the long way around rather than to go through water, long way around by the state hospital, get back over on Main Street to go home. I got up as far as the gift shop for the West Virginia Glass Company when I remembered I left my umbrella back at the garage. So I go back, taking the long way around. Well, I got back on 19, and I said to him, I said, do you suppose we can go home now, and what time is it? 6:20, he thought. I said, well, we might get home in time to hear the weather report on the news. Maybe hear what's been taking place or anything. But we got to the top of Rush Run Hill. I said to him, there must have been tremendous wind up here. The road was literally covered with debris. And I mean covered. The further we come off Rush Run Hill and started up towards our way, 5 huge trees across the highway. Just barely room for me to get around the tops of those trees and the ditch on the other side. If I'd have moved either way, and I mean I crept, if I'd have moved either way, I'd have been in trouble. Got on up to where we turn off of 19 to go over to our house, and just over the break of the bank, there used to be a big two-story house there. It was a log cabin, really, what it was, and done over on the outside. Huge white pine in front of that house, down across that road. Nowhere to turn, and I'm not that well of a backer, and get back up on the highway. I didn't know what to do. Well, Bobby moved some of the stuff out of the roadway and looked the situation over, and the trunk of a tree and the bank just barely roomed that crap through there with the truck. And I thought, with all that, how are things up at the house? Well, I looked up the front path as I went past, you know, but we have to go around by the nursery, up around, to get into the backside. Well, when I in the road, the rocks had all washed out of place and those things. I mean, I had to really take it slow up around the road. I turned around on all the tomato stakes, and the tomatoes had outgrown the stakes. They were huge, and we were in need of tying them some more. Might have that very evening. They were over, some out of the ground. It looked sort of like a sad sight. But I got in, and there are 16 huge trees around that house of ours down there. There was. The dog was okay. I walked around the house and looked at those trees. They were all okay. So I felt better. Inside, the house was okay. The only thing was our electric exhaust. It had gone off at 3:30. But I did have a telephone. And going up the road, in fact, I caught myself on the wrong side of the road. But I couldn't have driven in the other side. There were limbs and twigs and everything in that road bigger than my arm. We'd have had to clear it every inch to have driven on the right side of the road. I thought, boy, I hope I don't meet anybody here. And I didn't. So, found out I had a telephone, and I thought, well, who shall I let know this conditions are this way? Someone should know this. Be traffic coming through. It was after working hours and everything. Always good bit of traffic up there. So I thought, well, should I start with the highway or the state police or just whatever? So I called the sheriff's department. They had no knowledge of the conditions in that area that way. Well, I called them, explained it all. She said, where are you located, your telephone number, and all these things, and I told her. And she said, we'll be in contact with you throughout the evening to see if you're okay. And I told her another family up the hospital, I didn't know where they were at home or not, that was around. Well, then I went to call my dad because in the meantime, while we were in town in the line of traffic all that time, my dad was supposed to go to our house. He watches 2 TV programs and then go to our house. And he had called up there, and he didn't get any answer at our house. Well, I satisfied me. My dad wasn't there, you know, waiting on us or anything, and all that storm or something. So then when I got around, after I talked to the sheriff's department, I called my dad. Well, while I was talking with my dad, my neighbor came in on the line. She spoke. And I says, what do you think we've had around here? She said, a small tornado, it looks like to me. I said, that's my definition of it. And I was trying to tell my dad he was going to come up the next day to work on the water line. I said, before you come, you check with someone to see the condition of the highway. Well, he said, if you got through, can't I? But my dad's not that good a driver. He's awfully nervous. I said, I could get through with the truck where you can't with your car. Don't take a chance. Well, he was going to come around by Vandalia and through. And I said, then if you do, you better walk in. But I said, maybe they got conditions the same. Well, anyway, what I'm getting at is this. In less than 1/2 mile from me was all this destruction with the roof off the Conard Park building. All this destruction all the way up and down 19. On up the hollow from me where this neighbor lived, trees down. In around their house and all. Around our place is all took care of. We'd been delayed 2 hours in Weston out of almost no reason at all. I mean, on the surface. What had happened was it was a wet distributor cap. But that was just the Lord's way of taking care of us. If I'd have started on home at 3:15 when I thought I would have been on Rush Run Hill maybe at the time those trees were falling. And I wouldn't be here to tell you about it. Strange things.
Mm-hmm.
But everything around the house, the tomatoes were not hurt that terribly. We put the stakes back up, hurt the weight a little bit. It looked like the bean vines were literally ruined, so I told my dad, I said, if you do come up tomorrow, I'd like a little help in another direction, help get the beans off so they wouldn't deteriorate. Well, we took all the beans off, because I figured that was the end of them. Don't you know they revived up? And I was still picking the second week in October. But, I mean, that's what it looked like on the surface. Mm. Potatoes were uncovered, but we could recover them. Things, you know, that weren't that much.
Ariane thought we had to crawl down our knees.
Oh, yes, she made a remark. What did we do? Get down and crawl? I said, very near. But that's the Lord's way of telling us, you know. When you live right for Him and for Him, He takes care of you. That was showing me just as plain as anything of what He wishes are. We've been blessed with the crops other than the fruit because it was all over. Potatoes as big as my shoes. Most beautiful green beans you ever laid eyes on. Each planting was better than the last. Huge tomatoes. It's almost a shame to sell them for canning tomatoes. They'd have been nice slices.
Some as big as this ashtray.
I mean, they've just been blessed in that respect. But things have fallen in place. I had already gotten my coal in before the festival. 2 loads of coal. 2,960 pounds up there I can't even get it to use. I got it in. I got ready for the festival. Well, just after the festival, or just before the festival, on the 10th of September, I got this first letter about if we were still occupying the premises and all. And there would be a hearing in Elkins on the 21st of September. Well, I didn't know what to do. Well, I thought it over and thought it over, and I thought, no, I haven't to this point. And I thought of all our blessings. I can't turn back. What am I going to do? So the first load of coal I come in with on the 6th, 17th of September. See, we got this letter first. On the 17th of September, I was partway up around our road with a load of coal on, 1,460 pounds. When Bobby says, uh-oh. Somehow I had a feeling, because this letter had said something about a United States Marshal. And I forget just exactly how it read. And while I was on the highway with that load of coal, of course, I always felt tense anyway, but hoping all along, you know. But coming home with that load of coal, and I thought, well, I do hope we don't see somebody when we get there, but we did. In fact, I had to back out of that road with that load of coal. Well, I can't back very good on account of my back. And then if I turn my head too much in the wrong way, it's everything else. And I pulled out. Even though I thought I suspicioned a little bit, so they could get their vehicle out. He comes to the window. Bobby rolled the window down. I'm so-and-so. Do you remember me? I said, I don't know you. He said, oh, yes, you do. I said, no. I said, who are you? He gave me a name. Taylor, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he said, a United States Marshal. And I said, let me tell you. I said, I'm God's property, and God has authority over me. I said, there is nothing you can do about it. He jerked. strange look on his face, and he threw the papers into the vehicle. He didn't hand them to us. He threw them in. So he went on his way. Well, somehow I felt pretty good with myself, you know. And various people I've talked with, they said, well, I said, they were sure the Lord was smiling on me when I told him what I had to say.
Hold up there a minute.